Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the 100-Yard Dash.
Will he make it?
Has anybody been talking to our producer lately? I mean, is he okay? Is he medicated, or is he just not coherent?
I'm not sure, but that's about as fast as I've ever seen a human move right there.
It was just a blur.
I about slid out of my flip-flops trying to get back in here.
I thought it was Mel Gray going by there. Woo.
Blake Sneeders. He is he's the best.
He's the world's best producer that ever walked the face of the earth. Well, I mean, you want to explain why you were trotting down the hall here?
Well, I had to make sure that the first and foremost thing about this show is that we're on air.
Ah,
and
step
when
A.
This switcher that is not in this room that I'm currently in doesn't fire,
I see.
I have to manually fire it.
Did you manually fire it?
I did. So now we are on air. So that's why you saw me running down the hallway like my hair's on fire to make sure. As soon as it said now here's Fred Ramsey, that you were going to be on the air.
Ah, well, that's interesting. I don't think we can anybody listen anyway, so it don't make any difference, does it?
Too early.
Too early?
Yeah.
I said some one weekend about city folks don't get up early. Boy, that was a wrong thing to say.
There's a few cars out on the highway.
Somebody's up.
Hey, if you're listening this morning, drop us a line on our Facebook, Midwest Outdoors 810 Sports Radio on Facebook, and tell us where you're listening from. We'd like to hear from you, please.
All three of them?
All three. Well, I think you've got a story, don't you?
Yeah, I do. And I really feel remiss. I didn't get the guys' names, but and I will. I will. And I would give them a shout-out here. But they I don't think I've ever missed a show. Man, they are the nicest. But, you know, today is 38 years I've been on the air.
Oh, congratulations.
Anniversary is today.
We did it
for 6 months on a handshake at KFEQ Radio. And 34 years later, or whatever it was, 33 years later, it was over, you know.
But your choice.
Yeah. I mean, I just, Bob Orff is a very dear friend. I just think the world of. Bob retired, and I thought, well, he was my producer for all those years, and he put up with me, and that was hard for him to do. And he wanted to go away, and so I said, well, Bob, if you're not going to be here, I don't believe I will be either. So, but I miss him dearly. He's a great, great, great producer. And I ought to call him. I don't know why they haven't called him. I need to talk to him every once in a while. But
maybe we need to get him on the show, and maybe we can get a little dirt on you.
He got stories. Ladies and gentlemen, in the studio with me, my course, the greatest fisherman to walk the face of the earth, is Mark Tobin is here. Has the greatest lawn care business in America. There's nothing he can't do. If nothing else, he'll just burn your yard up.
At least you won't have to mow it.
That's right. Take a torch and walk row to row with it, you know. Also in the studio is Mr. Thompson. We heavy on the mister.
Okay.
And our special guest this morning, Otis Burnham, is in here with us.
Hi, Otis.
Hi.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. You?
I'm good.
We want to talk about his new girlfriend. You want to talk about it?
I have no girlfriend.
Uh-oh, so we got that's two single guys in the studio then, so.
Huh. You have no, what about this Amanda chick?
Nope.
She's not a girlfriend?
Nope, just a friend.
Just a friend.
So you think any of those single St. Joe girls are listening this morning?
I doubt it.
Do you need your number?
Yeah.
No, they'll sleep until about 11.
Well, Otis will handle it. It'll be fine. He rode all the way from St. Joe down, whether we're going to Waterfowl Days, out to Rogers here in a little bit. And he never spoke hardly three words all the way down I-20. I think he might have been asleep.
Well, he probably couldn't between you and Andy.
Well, Andy Burnham is in here, too. The greatest insurance person in benefits, is that what your terminology would be?
That is correct.
Benefits. Insurance guy. So,
do you hunt and fish, Otis?
Yeah, I love hunting. I just got into duck hunting recently this year.
Oh, did you? Cool.
Yeah, and then I've been fishing for a while now.
What do you like to fish for?
Largemouth.
Mm, nice. He can catch them, too.
All right.
Yeah, Otis can shoot. We had birds in on this year, and I was – he shouldn't be able to shoot like that, you know, at that age, you know. Boomity boom, boom, boom. And boy, he was knocking them out of the sky. I was so proud of him.
Nice.
Yeah, shot 20 gauge too, didn't you? From one. Yeah. It was unbelievable.
You've got a good teacher in your dad.
I don't know about that, but you got his dad has moments of brilliance. Now, last year, Andy Burnham, I had to crow a little bit about him, was dead on. He changed the choke and put, what restriction was it? You put in the gun?
I don't know, it was that Carlson long range.
Carlson long range choke. And I went, wow, I got to have one of those because, man, he was sparking them. He's almost good as you, Tobin.
No.
No, not that.
Not been to know.
Yeah, you're good. Man, you're good.
Yeah, guns, I almost hit one.
Do you ever remember the, no, I'm old. Remember Guns of Wheels on it? Nobody?
No.
And the guy said, I'm good. My dad's better or something like that. You know, he was a lot older.
Radio or silent?
It was
black and white.
Black and white. Right there with Lucille Ball.
Oh, my.
Did I ever tell you my Lucille Ball story?
No.
When we're off the air, I'll tell you.
Thanks for bringing that up, though.
Yeah.
Boy, it's just weird.
Way to just tease the listener real hard.
Well, you want to hear it? I'll be terminated.
Yeah. She was banned from Continental Airlines.
Yes.
My pilot was a.
Yeah.
My
That's
uncle
the story.
Was a pilot on there.
Yeah, and my good friend of mine was the stewardess. And, I mean, it was the most bizarre thing. She threw a fit, and it was just allegedly a terrible scene.
Good morning, Casey Canton from Overland Park. We have one listener. We
Casey
know who it
Canton?
Is. Yep.
I had a kind of a uplifting experience. I tried to call you about it, Mark, but I know I had an appointment to call you. But, you know, you're busy killing grubs and things. And moles, game moles this week?
I have, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, game shrews. Really? What about shrews? Have you seen
Never.
No. I got them.
Really?
Yeah. I got the finest collection in the world of shrews.
I've been cleaning pools this summer just to make money that you guys don't pay me. And I found.
Just had to throw that in. Just had to throw it
I've
in.
I've been finding shrews and moles in all the pool skimmers.
Oh,
really?
Bunch of them.
They're thirsty.
What the heck?
They're thirsty.
And a mole.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
We generally kill squirrels out of our pool. They drowned. Huh. And this year, there's been enough moisture around, I guess. Evidently, I haven't got a squirrel tree rat out of the pool this year. Last year, I got five or six. In the deal. So, what the heck?
Where's Cosby, Missouri?
Oh, beautiful Cosby is north of St. Joseph, Missouri. It's the finest people in the world in Cosby.
Well, Mark Schneider's listening.
I know that gentleman. I know who he is.
Yeah. He said happy anniversary to you.
Yeah, 38 years. Who'd ever thunk it?
Yeah, no kidding.
Huh.
Who'd have thunk that anybody would let you be on the radio?
That's right. Let's drink to it.
Well, maybe the higher-ups just don't get up this early in the morning.
Well, that's true.
They don't know.
No.
No, they don't care about us, you know. But hey, I don't blame them. And why should they? Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that the other day and some of the weirdest guests I've had, and I've had some good ones, and I've had some that's just terrible. And the one that sticks out was Tex somebody was his name, and he was from Texas. And he made the windsock gustikoi. This goes way, way back. Maybe in 1985, something like that. But when that red light come on, he couldn't talk. But as soon as that red light went off, he'd just, like, jerk your ear off talking.
That makes for a long radio show.
And I was only doing 30 minutes, thank goodness. But, I mean, it was just horrendous. Everything was yip, nope, maybe, I don't know. You know, just went on. I went, ugh. We had to go into a commercial break early. And I literally wanted to reach across and shake him, you know, but I couldn't. And yeah, says, you know, we're going to have to talk about your shoe size. We haven't got anything less to talk about, you know. I mean, my goodness, it was just terrible on the deal. And then the most talkative, I talk way too much, but used to have Leroy Brumgart.
Oh, yeah.
He won the National Turkey Calling Championship. And that was my first show that I did. And I said, Leroy, how are you this morning? And I sat back for 30 minutes and listened to him.
Oh, that's nice.
It was good. First, because I was nervous anyway.
First person to put out any turkey calling training media, and it was on a
cassette,
LP.
I still got it.
LP, we had him up at Lawson. Heck of a nice guy.
He ended up being state representative, ran for Lieutenant
Moscow Mills, Missouri, is where he lived.
I think he ran for lieutenant governor against Harriet Woods, I think it was at the time.
I'll be dying.
And soundly defeated.
The worst that I ever had was Patrick McManus. He was a outdoor writer.
Yeah.
And he did humor. And I've got all of his books and read his articles in Field and Stream. It's funny as all get out. Just love his books. Had a chance to interview him, and it was just like you said. It was
yep. Nope. Maybe.
I was crushed. I was so disappointed.
Oh, yeah.
But horrible radio interview. Great writer.
You know, writers are hard to interview except for
Brent Frazee. Yep.
And he's just funny and good, and he don't care, you know, and it's just that's the way you approach talk radio. That's okay, you know, on the deal. But, you know, just giggle and laugh and, you know, what the hey.
Yep.
You know? And if people don't like it, they have a switch on the radio, and it says on and off, you know, and you can go to a different station, you know, on the deal, so. You always have to remember that on the deal.
You know, we've had another couple of celebrities apparently on. Colton and Cindy Hutchinson. Cindy was one that did the interview with you on her podcast.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. She and her brother are going to the National High School Bassmaster in South Carolina, August 11th through the 13th.
Cool. Well, proud of her. She's a wonderful person.
Oh, she's a firecracker.
She's a dandy.
Sister-brother team.
Well, how fun.
Yeah, well, that's cool. She got a podcast going or something, too, doesn't she?
Cindy Real Fishing, and it's CY.
CY.
Cindy Real Fishing.
Well,
she did a great one with you. I learned some stuff off of it.
Yeah, we giggled. Yeah. That was fun. Did it right here in the studio. Caught me unprepared, but that's okay. That was better. That's probably better.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, when you get unprepared. Who is our guest?
Shane Bush, he's the biologist for Truman Lake and Table Rock Lake, Lake Taneycomo, and I think Crane Creek too. We never talk about that.
Crane Creek's impossible. Have you never fished Crane Creek?
No,
have
you?
No. Don't do it. Boy, it's tough.
Is it?
Oh, it's full of fish.
They're just edumacated.
It's a strain of trout that was put there when a train came through and broke down on its way from the west coast to the east coast. They were afraid they were going to lose them, so they put them in Crane Creek.
I remember that story.
And these things, they must have security because I understand you got to sneak up on them.
Oh, unbelievable.
It's awful, and they fight like crazy.
Oh, if you can hook one up.
Yeah.
And they just immediately turn and go back in the root wads. So you're going to break them off. You know, you got to go down to 2-pound test or a slider to get them to take a fly. You know, they're educated fish. There's some beautiful fish in there. And then there's access is, you know, through the city park there, but the surrounding it is all private ground. So it's pretty hard to get in on them, you know, on the deal. Yeah, but, golly, I was wading up Crane Creek, and I looked up, and I thought it was a log in the water, and it was a trout. I mean, there's some monster fish in there, but they live to be ripe old age, and they're smart. My goodness, unbelievable. Next Saturday, guys, we are going to have a major announcement. They've chosen us to give a kind of a major send-off on this thing for Delta Waterfowl.
Wow.
And they had their convention at Little Rock, Arkansas, and to say it was a success is a vast understatement.
Cool. Awesome.
So they've chosen us basically to, we're going to have Garrett Treatham on and John Devney at the same time. I don't know if we can pull that off, but we're going to try.
Wow.
And it's going to be a major, major announcement.
Next Saturday. All right.
This ought to be cool. So if you've got any duckaholics in your family, have them tune in because I think they're going to be wowed by what they're about to announce. It's already on the internet. A lot of people already know about it, but this is a major, major, major coup. It's altering life, changing position.
What the heck?
Yeah, it's really something. This is going to be important, and I'm glad they got a hold of me to talk about this. I'm sure they got a hold of a lot of people, but they really want it on here, and I said sure. Anytime in the deal. So anyway, this is a groundbreaking thing. It's about to happen. as far as waterfowl. So I'm really amped up.
Hey, where's Union Star?
Union Star, Missouri. It's north of St. Joe by Cosby.
Well, John Cotton is listening. So that's our third listener. That's all three of our listeners.
John Cotton is a good guy. John Cotton, when he played football, was really good.
I'll be darned.
I think he played at South Holt, if I remember right. Yeah, that's where I went to school.
Happy anniversary to you also.
Yeah, 38 years. God, I think of the changes. You know, the hardest change for me is my old buddies I used duck hunt with. Have all passed.
Yeah, right.
You know, it just got old on me and died.
That's one reason I hesitate to go duck hunting with you.
Yeah, you die right afterwards. Ted Hatfield, you know, he's duck hunting with me every year. Of course, he died immediately thereafter, you know. Dennis Johnson, he's duck hunting with me. He died immediately thereafter. I'm working on Burnham, but Andy seems to hang in there for some reason. I don't know why. Now, Otis, you're next in the deal. You want to talk about Amanda?
No. My girlfriend, nothing.
Your dad's going, huh? Your dad, you see, his dad been blindsided by this.
I got another groundbreaking announcement. We got four listeners.
Oh, my God.
This one's from Leavenworth, David Siegel.
Hey, David.
David Siegel. Is that?
He said he's looking forward to Blue Wingers soon.
Oh, boy. Not too far away.
Talking Fred's language.
Yeah.
What is it we determined coming down 30 some days away? 35 days to teal season. Yeah, how long has it been since we killed a duck, Burnham?
Been a long time.
Been way too long. We need to kill. I've got this. You guys eaten teal, haven't you? Have you ever eaten
teal?
That's
my favorite.
Oh.
Don't get near enough of them.
Oh, no. And they're too fast.
I know, right.
I can't hit them anymore. Them days are over with. But, boy, it's sure fun to shoot at them. My goodness. You know, Grish Gresham said it best, if the world's perfectly round, you shoot at them, they'll be back by in about two more minutes. Yeah, that's about the way it is. Shane Bush is going to be our guest. We've got to take a little bit of a break, but I want to talk about the art of fishing when we come back. We are proudly brought to you by King City Lumber, kingcitylumber.com. If you've not been to their website, you're the last human to walk the face of the earth, not been there. And I say that every Saturday, and I mean it. These guys are the master carpenters. They're the best. They have a crew that takes a back seat to no one. So if you're going to build an outbuilding, a loafing shed, a place for your horsey or your combine, my goodness, look into the website there at King City Lumber. If you don't see what you like, they will help you design it. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We'll be right back with you.
You gotta read that.
The best part of the radio shows is what we can't say on the air because of FCC regulations, I'm sure.
Well, this is, you got to tell.
Where's Kelly at now?
He says, I'm listening from the top of a windmill, been in the Mad Dog 2020 all night. Good morning, my friends.
He buys it in 55-gallon bulk drums. Oh, goodness, son. Well, I'm going to have a long talk, Kelly, get him straightened out. Hey, I ran into some guys the other day. They said they've been seeing broods of wild turkeys like crazy.
Really? That's great
about size. You're darn right. We're due for a hatch. I'm going to call Kelly, and I forgot to, but one guy said he saw three different broods within 2 miles. So maybe they've had a hatch on the deal, so we'll just see what goes on. Waterfowl days today. As soon as we throw this microphone away, we're going to the corner to eat.
Yeah.
What is it? Corner?
The Corner Cafe corner, in Liberty.
Liberty. Huh? Going up there and eat ham and eggs and hash browns, things like that, huh?
Oh, they got good biscuits and gravy, too.
Do they really?
Oh, yeah.
And so
you
maybe
can't stay fat if you don't eat enough.
Hey, I had dinner the night at Enchama's.
Oh, yeah.
My boy's birthday.
Oh, yeah. Brazilian.
Oh, man.
Good grubs?
Good.
If you're a carnivore, you'll come out of there in a coma.
Oh, yeah. I didn't want to leave.
Really?
You know, but I made such an ass myself eating it that they probably were getting ready to ask us to leave. But, wow.
Didn't you eat at one of those in Brazil?
We ate at a Brazilian steakhouse.
The Buffalo?
Yeah, I think that was the name of it.
That's exactly what this place is.
Oh, is that? Oh, man. So they bring these skewers of meat.
Yeah.
Big slabs of meat, and they just slice it for you right there at the table.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You talk about it.
The reason we ended up there, that gentleman, and he's a great guy that owns that and runs that, he bought that charity hunt that we gave away.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, wow.
And he was partying up there. He said, here's two gift certificates for Enchama.
Oh, wow.
and it was so nice of him. And I just couldn't wait to get there, but it took me a long time to get there, several months, but I finally did. But it was well worth the wait.
I'll be done.
You know, you're kin to him.
Hmm?
He's married to a Tamburello.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. It's Guy Tamburello's brother-in-law, I believe.
I'll be done.
Yeah.
Wow, what a great organization they had there. The service was, they bring you this little tab thing, and you lay it, and if you want meat, you turn it up yellow. And yeah. Just as soon as they see that yellow on your desk, I mean, ping, they're all over there with all kinds of steaks and shrimps, and you just couldn't believe what you...
Have you been there?
Barbecue.
I haven't been there. Oh, yeah, I have been there, actually. They've got Xingu River beer from the Xingu River in central Brazil, so I went there to drink that, too.
Huh. Well,
you drink beer?
I've been known to.
A whole one?
I don't want it. I don't like to get warm.
You drinking Mad Dog 2020?
Not since high school.
Huh. Okay. Well, I just thought I'd check with you. I didn't know.
I could tell you how to go to one of those steakhouses, though, because I did once. Go with a veterinarian, because he knew exactly which muscle to have him cut.
I don't care what muscle.
Oh, my, my Lord.
That was the one thing about Brazil. You weren't ever quite sure. Some of those meats were a little strange. Don't know what animal they came off of.
I was watching a show the other night, guys, on Outdoor Channel. A guy shot a camel over in Australia. It was a hard hunt. Shot a bow and arrow, and they were smart, and they picked up on you. Well, he cut a big old chunk of meat off of that camel. And he got a cooking show and a hunting show. You know, that's the in rage in Outdoor Channels right now. And he took a bite of that camel, and he was trying to say it was good, but you can tell.
The expression didn't lie.
I've never eaten camel meat myself personally, but you could tell he didn't like it either. But he was trying to put the stiff lip on the thing, you know, he was trying to smile while he ate it. And, you know,
no, thanks.
Ever eaten bear meat?
Yeah, you know, we went to a wild game dinner, and it was you and I that went to this thing, and it was somewhere up north. But, yeah, they had bear in a crock pot, barbecue bear. It was a little greasy.
Little?
Yeah, and a little chewy.
Did you ever eat buffalo?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean.
It's good.
Whenever I've had it, it's just been ground beef, you know, ground buffalo, I mean. Yeah. And it's a little lean for me.
It's very lean.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just deal. It's just kind of different. The best meat I think I've ever eaten as far as on hoofed is elk.
Elk.
It's just something about elk.
The best meat is Wagyu beef, bar none.
What is it?
Unfortunately, it's super expensive. Wagyu beef.
Yeah.
If you get authentic, it's super expensive. I mean, one of my nephews got a Wagyu steak for my brother and I a couple of years ago for Father's Day.
You get a loan to get it or what?
Yeah, it's like $350.
There you go.
There's a restaurant in Dallas, and it's $11 an ounce.
Yeah, I think there's
half ounce.
There's only maybe four or five restaurants in the entire country that serve authentic Wagyu. But it's super, super fatty. I mean, you look at it, it's like, oh, my gosh. But
really?
Really marbled, yeah.
Oh, God. But it's got the best flavor and so tender. Nothing like it.
Do you remember when we had Steve Rinelli and said, what's the best meat? You know what he said? Beaver tail. Remember that?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, he said beaver tail. And that was a delicacy back when the old trappers went across, you know, and they would, it's fatty under the tail, you know, onto the muscle part. I guess, and
uncooked.
If he was hungry enough, you know. No. They were eating gunpowder, if you remember that.
Yeah, well, yeah. I asked him if was there anything that he tried, you know, because he eats everything immediately after. So I asked him if there was anything that he'd had a hard time choking down, and that was it. It was the buffalo bile seasoned with gunpowder.
On the last Alaskans, I saw him, and that was a delicacy, the raw beaver tail after the.
Yeah,
just cut up little chunks.
That's the end thing to eat. And I've got a buddy that traps them. I might want to con him out or something like that. Kelly gave us some northern and walleye from his fishing excursion up in, where was he, North Dakota, South Dakota, wherever they went up there?
Spear fishing through the ice.
Right.
So I had some northern, and I has now replaced walleye as far as my favorite.
Ooh.
I don't know that I would replace it, but it's right up there with it.
Boy, this was excellent.
It's so good, yeah.
The Canadians, they'd rather eat the pike than they would the walleye.
Yeah. And the other thing is, my horizon has been open as far as meat. Are we out of time? No, we're all right. As far as meat is, was speckled belly goose last year. Chris got into a flock of specks and took a couple of them home and ate them. I always wondered, you know, when the guys go north up here in Saskatchewan and all that stuff and up on the Arctic Circle, nobody wants to eat the snow geese or the black geese. They want to eat the speckle bellies. Hmm. And I understand now.
Huh.
The grain kind of runs different in them, in the breast. It was weird. But it was just the second best thing you can put to your lips. Hmm. Otis, you shouldn't have heard that. I'm sorry, Otis.
It's fine. I don't care.
Let's call Amanda. Oh, well. Poor Otis getting blindsided here this morning. It's early. Our guest is who, Shane?
Shane Bush, biologist for Table Rock Lake and Lake Taneycomo.
You know,
he's really fired up about what's going on Taneycomo.
Is this the good old days of fishing?
You know, according to him and Clint Hale, he's the
Clint doesn't count.
Clint runs the hatchery, the Shepherd of the Hills fish hatchery. But they're claiming with the new stocking program that the fishing's never been better down there.
Wow.
So he's really fired up about it.
I don't think it crossed anywhere. I mean, Kansas, I talk to guys that have a glow about them. You know, every once in a while they'll blank out. But, I mean, Kansas does a great job.
Yeah,
Missouri
absolutely.
Does a great job. You know, they've got good fisheries. They got guys cut in like Shane who know what's going to happen.
Well, we've never had such intelligent fishing pressure as we do right now. We've got such good electronics. And yet, despite that, you know, more people catching more fish. Despite that, it seems like fish numbers are as good now as they ever have.
Speaking of fishing, how's our good friend Joe Falco?
He is fantastically. They get a few boats that trickle in. They've had a lot of boats ordered for a long time, and they're just getting a few that are trickling in now and then. So if you're in the market, it just pays to go in there, you know, once a week and just mm-hmm. see what's come in. And if you do own a boat, you're going to have it serviced eventually.
Don't own a boat.
And there's nobody better than Dave Hemme. He's the head mechanic down there. And there's just nothing that he can't fix. So when you have a problem, it's not if you have a problem. It's when you have a problem, just remember Sportsman's Outfitter Marine. They're down there in Belton. Last Belton exit, the Cass Road exit.
Nobody
just
like
west
them.
Of 49 Highway. Great like bunch them. Of folks. Absolutely.
We are going to have Shane on in just a minute or two here. I'm kind of looking for, I don't know why, I just really enjoy every time we have him on the air.
Yeah.
He said, darn smart.
Yeah, boy, he knows his craft, I'll tell you. And he's very energetic and enthusiastic about what he does. I just love Shane. Yep.
He's a good man. We are also brought to you, while I'm on this roll, this company is Sure Ag. And it used to be Sure Grow and it spun off, and now they have the locations at Four City, Osborne, and Savannah. The manager's up there between the three of them got 115 years of know-how. And they sprayed, of course, I've been using them 15, 16 years, but they I don't know what they did. They sprinkled magic dust around somewhere. I don't know what they did, but I've got weed control like I've never had before. I had to replant three times, but other than that, quit laughing. It's not that funny that these guys stayed with me all the way through. I had to have them come in and spray one day when it was so muddy, and they didn't complain. They just did it. And I've never been around anybody, but they've got the best prices on fertilizer and sprays and chemicals, and there's nobody like these guys. And I mean this from my heart. Old Rich or Paxton from Four City, Randy at Savannah, or Jeff at Osborne. Boy, you know, for you guys, got to make every inch count, which if you're in a row ag guy, you better. It used to be you make every acre count. Now you make every inch count. So next time you're looking in to fertilize your pasture or spray your soybeans or weed control or whatever you need done on your farm, there's nobody like these guys. Sure Ag. Again, they're located at Osborne, Four City, and Savannah. Take a little break. We got Shane Bush. Ought to make a good show. He kind of makes us giggle from time to time, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
38 years of this nonsense today.
Congratulations.
You think ought to be? I was looking to get a reward, you know, and I went actually to buy one, you know, and he couldn't find one. I was going to present myself with one this morning. Well, that's what they do in Hollywood. They all present each other with awards all the time, you know.
Yeah, or slap each other.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, well. Otis, Otis, I'm sorry. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with you.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome back to the Midwest Outdoors. I'm Mark Tobin, along with Waterfowler Hall of Famer and 38 years on radio anniversary today, Fred Ramsey.
Do you think that Shane knew about that and he'll give me some kind of an award?
Shane would. He's that kind of
guy.
Is he? Yeah, and Greg Thompson is in studio with us also. But, yes, the Shane we are referring to is a good friend of ours, good friend of the show, good friend of mine. He's the biologist for Lake Taneycomo, Table Rock Lake. And do you still do Crane Creek?
Shane, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah.
that would be the voice of our guest, Shane Bush. good morning. So do you still look over Crane Creek as well?
Yes, that's right. That's one of the creeks I manage.
What was the story? What kind of trout is it that's in there?
So they're McLeod strain rainbow trout, originally from the McLeod River in California. And it's a pretty neat stream in Missouri. The creek was stocked in the late 1800s, and the rainbow trout have reproduced in there on their own ever since. So we've got a wild reproducing rainbow trout population right here in southwest Missouri. So
I heard back in the day you were a wild reproducer.
Oh, my. No. Well, 38 years was long enough, I guess, Fred.
Shane, are you going to send me some kind of an award?
You know?
Okay. Yeah, I'll look for it in the mail.
Okay. We talked a little, texted back and forth a little bit during the week, Shane, and you were pretty fired up about what's going on at Taneycomo. What's going on?
The fish population is just outstanding there right now. So, you know, Clint Hale, I know you've had him on the show many a time, the hatchery manager at Shepherd of the Hills. He and I have worked together pretty closely, along with some other folks in the agency, to modify the stocking for the rainbow trout in there. And what we've done is just, we've seen drastic improvements in the size and the quality of the rainbow trout in there. So instead of stocking 700,000 a year like we used to, we stock about 560,000. And angler catch rates are still great, but the size has just gone through the roof. So it's literally the best it's ever been in the life of that fishery. So it's very exciting to see the results of that work and to see anglers enjoying catching just trophy fish. You know, a lot of guide trips going out, they're getting fish over 20 inches every time.
Oh,
you know?
What? That's worth getting out of bed for. And
I've seen some nice browns caught out of there lately.
There are some very nice browns in there, and that's another success story with the triploid brown trout that we've stocked. Uh-huh. We've raised two big state records with those, and we're going to continue those stockings. We've got some more in the hatchery right now that are scheduled to go out this fall. So, and if you don't know, those are fish that have been modified at the egg stage so that they don't reproduce. And that way they don't put energy into reproduction. They put it into growth. And since the brown trout don't reproduce in Taneycomo anyway, it just creates for a bigger fish a little bit quicker. So
you're not far off of the world record there.
Right, about 4 pounds shy. The last record that was caught was 40 pounds, and I think the world record's still 44 in New Zealand. But you know what's amazing is that 40-pound fish was only 8 years old.
Wow.
So that's how quick those things grow.
That's crazy.
Is there a new world record in there?
You know, it wouldn't surprise me at all because, those things can live. Those brown trout can live 10 to 15 years, so it's certainly feasible to think there could be one in there.
Hmm. You're saying that the guys go out and they can catch a 20-inch fish. Those are rainbow you're talking about, not browns?
So both. But the rainbows are really what we improved with reducing the stocking, you know. So just reducing the overall number of fish in the lake has just really increased the size structure. And, yeah, I mean, I've got friends that are guides, and I'm seeing their posts on Facebook, you know, every day is fish over 20, fish over 20. You know, not a lot of them, but a few. And that's a trophy that maybe – 10 years ago, you wouldn't have caught too many like that. So
five years ago.
Yeah. And a lot of fish in that 16 to 18 inch range.
And so, a lot more guys down there are putting them back, which is great.
That does help. That helps a lot. Yes. So, and that's kind of why we had to reduce the stocking, because we put the slot limit in 1997 with hopes that maybe folks would keep some fish under 12 inches. You know, that slot goes from 12 to 20 inches. That's what protects those fish in those size ranges. But turns out people really didn't want to keep fish that small. So we had to look at other ways to reduce the overall numbers that were up there to help their growth out. And that's why we knocked the stocking down a little bit. But it's worked. And there's some really good fish in there now.
I probably started fishing Taneycomo back in the early 80s. And the lake's just a lot different now than it used to be back then.
Oh, boy.
And it's more, when I say that, it's the weed growth in that lake. And there's, I used to like to go away from the crowd, and I'd go down toward Forsyth and, you know, below the landing. And I love fishing flats down in that area. And, man, there's just, you can't get to them anymore because of the weed growth. Is that a good or bad thing? As far as fishing goes, that's a bad thing. But does that, all that extra weed growth, does that do anything positive for the fish?
It does a lot of positive for the fish, but like you said, it makes it really hard for fishermen to catch fish around the stuff. But aquatic vegetation is great for fish. It gives the young fish places to hide. The stuff holds a lot of food. I mean, if you pull up a handful of that stuff, it's just covered in invertebrates. So, I mean, that's great for the trout and the bluegill. And, you know, Lower Taneycomo's got a phenomenal largemouth bass population. I think we've talked about that a few times in the past.
Yeah.
But we sampled that this spring, and it was just amazing, just the number of 18 to 20 inch largemouth down there. It would rival Table Rock, you know.
Really?
Ooh,
yeah.
Cool.
But it,
wow.
You know, it does make it hard to fish, and it's kind of just a product of the lake being over 100 years old. You get a lot of sedimentation and nutrients coming in with all the big floods, and that accumulates, and that causes a lot of weed growth. So we're looking at options of things we can do to help out, and working with Liberty Utilities that owns the lake to try to find some solutions. So,
is there any? I mean,
well, you know, there's herbicides. We use those, you know, around docks and some other areas, but they're pretty costly. So, just kind of looking at things maybe more long term. We're working on a watershed management plan that would stop or look at the sources of the nutrients and the sediment coming in and get those stopped. And then, you know, maybe down the road over time, I don't know if dredging would be an option, but I mean, that's really what needs to happen is just deepen it back in some spots. But as you know, that's very costly. So
if you're
a lot of moving parts.
If you're going to consider dredging, I've got a couple of flats I would like to show you.
For the fish population's sake, of course.
Of course, yes. But you mentioned the largemouth bass population, and I love catching bass down there. I mean, there's not a trip that we go down there that we don't catch some bass, and we're not really even trying. But what's going on? I've seen some good catches of crappie and bluegill. What's the situation with the other game fish in Taneycomo?
Yeah, there are crappie in the lake. There's not a lot of them. Sometimes you can get lucky enough to catch them. They hide really well in those weeds, so they're kind of tough to get to. But the sunfish are great, and that seems to be getting better with the bluegill and the red-ear sunfish that we sampled this year. We had a lot of fish in that 8 to 9 inch range. So those are really good sized, you know, bluegill for a lake like that. They're still not as big as the ones in Table Rock, but
yeah, I've seen pictures that of some of them that you've caught. Oh my gosh, those are toads.
They are. They get really big in there. But you know, very good warm water fishery in the lower end of the lake, and just a very high quality trout fishery in the upper end. So even though it's got a lot of weeds, it's still a really good fishing destination.
Where do you consider the lower part of the lake to start?
So really probably downstream of Branson would be considered the lower part of the lake. And then from Rockaway Beach further down, you know, that's where you're going to catch most of your warm water fish, because the water starts to warm up there. It gets far enough away from Table Rock Dam that in the summer, you know, you start to see water temps in the 70s down there, for just better for warm water fish than trout.
So Fred mentioned, so maybe we're fishing in the good old days. These are the good old days down at Truman, or down at Taneycomo, right? Now,
yeah, that's exactly right. That's they talk about it, you know, and these that's now. I mean, it's the best it's ever been. So, you know, hopefully it continues. We're going to keep our management regime the same, and anglers help with releasing those big fish. You know, not too many of those great big ones get harvested. So, it's worth coming down.
You know, I we've been doing this show for quite a few years here, and every year just seems like it's just a little bit better. You know, I'm talking about Kansas and Truman, and I mean, I'm hearing stories that it's hard to believe, but I know these guys and fishermen tend to lie a little bit, but
a little.
But this is the good old days of fishing. You know, there's nothing like it. You know?
Well, we've come a long way, you know, as biologists over the years. The things that we've learned, and the way technology is now, and the things that we can do. It is.
I got a question for you. Does live scope spook some fish?
Spook? I don't think so. I mean, I can't say I'm no expert on the live scope. I know certainly it helps see where the fish are at, but I haven't used it personally enough to know. We'll say yet whether it does or not, but we're not really seeing any negative effects in the fish populations because of it. I know that's kind of a hot topic.
Is it
causing overharvest? And, the limit's still the limit, you know, and that's why we set them that way, is that if everybody kept their limit, the fish would still be sustainable. And so regardless of how people catch them, you know, it's that's why we have regulations. So
I'm hearing from guys down that way that, I think Table Rock's one of the best kept walleye fisheries there is right now. Is that any validity in that?
You know, it's really coming around. The past probably 4 or 5 years we've seen a lot of walleye caught, and we stock very few in the lake. We only stock them in there when we have some surplus in the hatchery, and that doesn't happen every year. But what's happened is, you know, all the high water that we've had over the past, say, 6-8 years, we get these big floods in March that just increases all of the spawning areas for the walleye in the tributaries, and then in the summer it stays high. Well, that increases cover, you know, on the shoreline for those young walleye to hide in, and we've seen just tremendous recruitment, reproduction of the walleye in the lake. Just all natural reproduction for the most part, too.
Guide
trips, you know, throughout the lake in the summer, they're pulling up half a dozen walleye in a trip, you know, and that just didn't used to happen in Table Rock. So, it's really getting a lot better, a lot more fish in the lake.
What would you mention the big bluegill? How is the bluegill population in Table Rock?
Looks very good. We got out a few times with the kids this year fishing, and, you know, it's hard for us to sample them because they spawn so deep, but I do try to get out and fish for them and talk to the fishermen, you know, and see what they're catching. But just tremendous size in the bluegill this year. Red ear sunfish are also really, really big. We had quite a few fish over the 11-inch mark when we were
shocking. Wow, yeah. The big red ear.
Yeah.
Huge red ear down there. And the bluegill, you know, 9-inch plus is not uncommon for a stringer of those. So
How deep do they spawn?
It depends on the year and the water clarity, but generally 10 to 15 foot.
Wow.
For the most part. Yeah. So fish will spawn as deep as the water, you know, as deep as you can see, and then maybe add 2 foot. You know, it's kind of a good rule of thumb. So long as sunlight can penetrate those eggs. The Table Rock, some years you can see 20 feet down. So, you know, most fish will be spawning deeper those years.
I don't know. This might not be a fair question, but why is it that the bluegill gets so big on Table Rock? Now, Lake of the Ozarks and Truman, I'll catch some, but you never catch a good one. They're all small. What could possibly be the difference?
So I think the difference is the densities of bass that we have. Table Rock has a ton of bass between the largemouth, the smallmouth, and the spotted bass. When we electrofish, we keep tabs of how many based on the number of fish per hour. And we're catching over 300 to 400 bass per hour of electrofishing, and that's a lot of fish. And I mean, I've helped a lot of other biologists, a lot of other lakes, and they're all great lakes, you know, but they just don't have the numbers of fish that Table Rock does. And so when you have high bass densities like that, it keeps the bluegill from overpopulating, and you know, because the less fish you have in a lake, the bigger they're going to get.
Yeah. Pretty simple.
So, yeah, I mean, that's what happened with the trout.
Trout,
you know, which
sure.
was less in, they got bigger.
Yeah.
It's that's just the way it works. So I think it's just the bass densities. Mm-hmm.
I hear every year somebody about when you guys do your electrofishing about how many fish you kill by doing electrofishing. Is there any validity to that?
No, no. Like I said, we've come a long ways as biologists and agencies over the years, the things that we've learned, and we've done a lot of studies on, you know, injury rates with electrofishing, and no, we kill very few fish doing that. I mean, I watch them, you know, I'm driving the boat and I watch them, we dip them up. I've got a guy measuring them right there on the boat. He measures them, weighs them, throws them back, and they swim right off. You know, it just stuns them long enough for us to capture them. So no, we don't kill very many at all.
I didn't think you would, but every year I hear somebody say, well, they're killing all these fish in the electro. I don't think so. You know,
no.
And I've been around you guys, talked to you guys over the years, and I don't argue with people anymore. I got tired of that, but just, you know, you just can't deal with people who have their mindset, you know, change, you know, in the deal. But I don't see where it would. Now, it might turn them off or they wouldn't eat for a day or two, I would assume, but.
Possibly. Although I've seen people come right behind our electric fishing boat and catch fish. So, you know, I'm not sold that that stops fishing for a day. But, you know, certainly it's capable of killing fish. But we have special boxes that we can meter down the amount of electricity. So we're not putting just, you know, the old telephone crank amount of electricity in the water.
What? What?
You
what?
You can do that?
You can do
that. Hey,
I've read of such things.
So if you, when you stock one of these rainbow, how far on the outer limits will they go from where you stocked them?
So we've done a lot of studies on Taneycomb over the years, and so we stock them all the way at the lower end of the lake down at Empire Dam, and within a couple of days, those fish have already reached the upper end of the lake, and it's 22 miles long.
What?
So
wow.
That's, you know, a trout being a trout, they feel that flowing water and they're going to follow it, you know.
Yeah.
I get a lot of complaints from anglers down the lower end of the lake saying we can't catch any trout, even though we're just constantly stocking them there because, well, one, it's a lot of siltation and vegetation down there that they don't particularly love. They want to go to the upper end where there's gravel and invertebrates and scuds and colder water. So, they just migrate back up to the top pretty quick.
Will they go like Silvers and some of the other ones do in Alaska? Will they go quite a ways and then stop and rest and eat, or will they just head up that way?
Yeah, I mean, they don't all head up there, you know, but I mean, just of what they're capable of, you know, that's what we found in our tagging studies that we used to do in the 70s and 80s, I think. They would tag some and then see how quickly they were caught, and it was just a matter of days for some. But
that's crazy.
Some find other areas to stay in. You know, there's food throughout the entire thing. It's full of sculpins and small fish and
How's the hatchery doing? I remember one year, didn't you have some kind of problem there with the hatchery? Was oxygen levels maybe, or a disease or something? You guys got to watch that like a hawk, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Clint keeps a really close eye on that. You know, they've got computer systems set up to tell them if the oxygen tanks or anything like that, wake him up at night. He's got to go down there and check it. But that was one year we had really bad water quality, and it just had to do with all the floods that we had in Table Rock that summer. Just washed a lot of organic matter in, and that depleted the oxygen in the lower part of Table Rock a lot quicker. And so when that happens, you have other byproducts building up like hydrogen sulfide. And, you know, we really had – that was really the big culprit, was just the hydrogen sulfide in the water. And, it was pretty bad. We lost quite a few fish in the hatchery. But kind of a silver lining on that, you know, I had been thinking about trying to reduce the stocking for quite a few years because our electrofishing data showed that maybe we were overstocking a little bit. So that gave us an opportunity to try it because we didn't have another choice. And what we saw the next year was just a boost in the growth. And it's like, all right, maybe we're on to something here, you know. So terrible to lose that many fish, but it worked out for the lake. So now we know what the appropriate stocking rate is.
Mark, wouldn't you like to fish with Shane? He would know. He would know where the big ones are.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
He'd say, "Yeah, it's over by that log. Or there's a great big one over there."
Nobody knows it like he does.
Well, we think not. You know, I think we'd pay extra.
You know? I'd be lying if I said I never went back to fishing the spot after we camped where the big ones were. Yeah. I may have a crappie on the wall that from a situation like that. But
of all the things you do as a biologist, what do you enjoy the most?
That, you know, going out and sampling the fish populations and then bringing all that data back and analyzing it to see just what's going on with the fish population, you know, and then to see the results of the work that you've put in is really rewarding, to see it, you know, on the angler's end and just in our data end, just how good everything's looking. That's what's most rewarding to me. And then everybody, of course, having a good day of fishing makes it all worth it, you know?
Yeah, right. Well, Shane, there's none like you. We really appreciate it. I'm sorry we're out of time, but this goes way too fast whenever
Isn't
we have
great?
You on.
Yeah. You're a great guest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I always enjoy talking to you guys. Yeah. You do the show at like 9 a.m. or something.
Well, we've only got three listeners, so don't worry about it.
This is his day off. I hate to get him up early.
Oh, he don't deserve a day off, you know. What the hey, you know. Got these guys from Cosby that listen.
Yeah. All right.
Cosby, Union Star.
Well. Union Star. You know.
Some crazy guy on a windmill.
Some guy on a windmill. Yeah, other than that, we're okay. Naked, sitting on a windmill, drinking Mad Dog 2020. My kind of guy.
That's our kind of listener. Yep.
Yeah. Shane, you're a wonderful human. Keep up the good work.
Yeah.
You guys probably don't get a pat on the back very often. You probably catch more incoming than you out. And I know I'm proud of you, and I know Mark.
Absolutely. Mark, yeah. Keep up the great work. Thanks for all that you're doing.
You're a wonderful human.
Yeah.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, Shane.
All right,
you too.
Boy, he is just phenomenal.
Yeah, love Shane.
We got hardly any time left.
How's that pickup of yours?
I love it. Sand dune is the color. I don't know how many people have walked up to me and say, "Boy, that's the prettiest truck I ever saw." That's that new color from Chevrolet. But the best part of the experience was Reed Chevrolet.
Yep.
And he's here in the studio with me. He's bought umpteen from Reed. Our family has bought five or six from Reed. Our buddy Trevin, I think leaving maybe Friday,
ooh,
Northwest Territory to stone sheep hunting. I'm so jealous of him. Oh. Big trunk will be on his porch. I'm going to be inside. he'll say, "Well, some of my gear, and I'll have to take him with me." You know the deal. But I'll tell you what, it is a good experience to be at Reed Chevrolet. They are the caringest bunch of people I've ever been around, and they care. They care about what you're getting and what they're doing for you. So, you know, no hassles. Just make you smile while you're buying a vehicle.
And you always talk about buying, but the service there is unlike anywhere. And I've got personal experience with it in my son and his truck. And they're just a great bunch of people. And boy, you talk about experts. They just make you feel good. They know what's going on, and they're going to take care of you.
Well, go by and see him at a fair price. Reed Chevrolet, Frederick, I-29, named that street after me, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Got to go. 38 years went by pretty quick, guys.
Yeah, congratulations.
I don't know if we should be or not.
Our deepest sympathies.
Yeah, really. I'll tell you what, that wraps it up for this edition of the Midwest Outdoors. We got to go for this week. The next time we see you, I hope we see you in a great outdoors.
Thanks, Otis, for being here, Andy and Greg. And thank you all for listening. Have a good week. So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Tight lines.